Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. A growing number of advanced sixth graders on Long Island and elsewhere could be taking algebra courses typically taken by ninth graders under new rules tentatively approved yesterday by a New York State Board of Regents committee. John Hildebrand reports on Newsday.com that the rules change, which requires a federal waiver, would allow students as early as sixth grade to enroll in classes culminating in Regents examinations, as long as their districts permit this. As an incentive, sixth graders who take algebra exams would be exempted from easier sixth grade math tests normally required by federal law. This year, three districts on Long Island, Bridgehampton, Half Hollow Hills, and Syosset, have sixth graders taking algebra classes according to state records. Those systems are among 16 statewide providing such services. Bridgehampton Superintendent Mary Kelly said the sixth grader taking algebra there had shown a special affinity for math and was included in an accelerated class usually reserved for eighth graders. I think it's a great opportunity that allows for additional flexibility in meeting students' needs, Kelly said. We're glad that we can support him in following his path. A federal law adopted in 2001 requires annual testing in English and math for all students in grades 3 through 8. Jason Harmon, a deputy state education commissioner, told Regents that expansion of testing waivers in grades 6 and 7 will provide exceptionally advanced middle school students with additional opportunities to participate in high school level coursework. A 15-year-old Greenport High School freshman has been arrested and charged with making a terroristic threat after he threatened to shoot up the school last week, police said yesterday. John Valenti reports on Newsday.com that on Friday, school resource officers learned of the threat made against Greenport High School and said a thorough investigation determined the teen had vowed to shoot up the school, according to Southold Town Police. The teenager, whose identity was not released due to his age, had been previously investigated over an alleged threat made against the school in May, police said in a statement. He was charged with one count of making a terroristic threat and one count of second-degree aggravated harassment. He was scheduled for arraignment Monday at First District Court in Riverhead. Since a gunman killed 19 students and two teachers last month at a Uvalde, Texas elementary school, police on Long Island have responded to dozens of threats against schools. School officials in Nassau and Suffolk have said they are working with police on efforts to reevaluate and upgrade campus security measures. World Trade Center responders with chronic health conditions who contract COVID-19 may have more serious and long-term illness from the virus, according to a new study from the Stony Brook World Trade Center Health and Wellness Program. Lisa L. Colangelo reports on Newsday.com that the study looked at 1,280 patients at the program with COVID-19, all of whom were 9/11 responders, comparing ones with chronic disease to those without it. It was published this month in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. Being down at the World Trade Center site, being exposed the way they were and developing these diseases puts them at significant risk for diseases that arise even unexpectedly, Dr. Benjamin Luft, lead author of the study, told Newsday on Monday. Fealty to Trump arises as litmus test in GOP debate for New York governor. Jesse McKinley in the New York Times reports that in the opening moments last night, Representative Lee M. Zeldin attacked Harry Wilson, a corporate turnaround specialist, as a never-Trumper and Republican in name only. Mr. Wilson soon returned the fire, saying Congressman Zeldin's campaign was disintegrating and suggesting that he had been approached about running alongside Zeldin and had turned him down. Zeldin, who was chosen as his party's designee at a party convention this winter, scoffed, even as Wilson, who also worked in the Obama administration, tried to cut him off. "This guy doesn't stop," Zeldin said, adding, "You're on the wrong debate stage, man," suggesting that Wilson would be more at home with Democrats. The verbal scuffle continued, even as another candidate, Rob Astorino, looked on, and a fourth candidate, Andrew Giuliani, situated in a studio nearby, held a fixed smile. "You're a child," Wilson finally responded. The explosive exchange typified much of the back and forth as the candidates sought to prove and polish their conservative bona fides on topics ranging from gun control to abortion to their respect for former President Donald J. Trump. In doing so, they also sharply differentiated themselves from their Democratic counterparts, especially Governor Kathy Hochul, who was considered a favorite as the June 28th primary for both parties nears. Each candidate called for deep cuts in state spending and massive cuts in taxes and the cost of living. An Emerson College poll released yesterday shows Governor Kathy Hochul and U.S. Congressman Lee Zeldin with hefty leads in their respective primaries for governor ahead of the June 28th election. Zach Williams reports in the New York Post that the new survey results were released just hours before the first televised debate between the four Republican candidates for governor, which was broadcast last night by CBS2. Just over a third of very likely GOP voters are supporting Zeldin. He's a Republican from Shirley, Long Island, compared to 16% for former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, 15% for businessman Harry Wilson, and 13% for former White House aide Andrew Giuliani. The poll is the latest to show Zeldin, who has the official backing of the state Republican Party, with a hefty lead over his opponents, though a May Zogby poll showed him trailing Giuliani by single digits. The GOP race, however, still appears up in the air with early voting beginning this Saturday. Governor Hochul has a 40-point lead over Nassau Congressman Tom Suozzi, who has 17% support of Democratic respondents to the poll, compared to public advocate Jumani Williams, who had 6%. A state appellate division panel in New York County on Friday invalidated the assembly map signed into law by the governor in February, but the appeals panel declined to postpone the June 28th party primary election to allow new assembly maps to be drawn for the 2022 election. Instead, the appellate court ruled that the map adopted by the state in February will remain in place for 2022 and redrawn under court supervision and implemented for the 2024 election. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, who sought to stop the June 28th primary election and postpone it to a date as late as September, immediately filed notice of appeal to the state's highest court. The assembly map adopted by the state makes a big change to the boundaries of the East End's two assembly districts. A flag owned by the Suffolk Historical Society might have been the first, or one of the first, versions of Old Glory, but definitive proof has yet to be found, experts say. As we celebrate Flag Day today, Joan Grala reports on Newsday.com that historians continue to speculate about the flag Continental Army Captain John Hulbert of Bridgehampton flew as early as 1775 with 13 stars and stripes. Historians remain strongly divided about whether this is the first American flag, said Victoria Berger, the Historical Society's executive director. Controversy aside, the Hulbert flag is nationally recognized as one of the earliest examples of the flag. Hulbert's flag is much smaller than many in an era when such flags commonly were displayed by forts or ships, yet it might have been flown when his Bridgehampton company of the 3rd New York Regiment marched up to Fort Ticonderoga before upholsterer Betsy Ross created a more prominently known American flag. The fort was captured by Ethan Allen's Green Mountain Boys that May. Hulbert's soldiers escorted British prisoners to Trenton, New Jersey, said Matthew Kegel, curator of collections at Fort Ticonderoga, and then on to Philadelphia, where the Continental Congress was meeting and where his flag might have inspired flag designers. The Historical Society in Suffolk, based in Riverhead, takes no position on whether it is the country's first. Hulbert's flag was found in 1926 in a Bridgehampton attic. The flag is too fragile to undergo more tests. In a report funded by Newsday in 1997, large sections sewn with thread not used before 1840 were found, echoing what a Smithsonian Institution curator said in 1972. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.